Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
May I have your attention please? Now, taking the airwaves on 97.3 The Fan. San Diego's own, Gwen and Chris.
Featuring Tony Gwynn Jr.
Losing 2 of 3 to the Diamondbacks.
Tumultuous weekend.
Very tumultuous. Tumultuous.
That too.
Yeah. You know what I'm trying to say.
And Chris Ello.
You're no Jalen Ramsey.
You think he did one of those like everyone does? Put a towel over the phone.
Yeah, man.
Oh, this is Jalen.
Gwen and Chris starts now on 97.3 The Fan.
Here's the pitch. He swings and belts one to deep right center field. Way back. Going. And gone. Goodbye. Halfway up the pavilion. A tremendous game. Tying. Home run by Juan Soto.
I know it feels good to win. I know it feels really bad to lose. And it feels really bad to be right in the middle of that tonight. So, it's just a bad feeling, man. I don't know how to describe it. Have a group of guys that you've spent your entire season with, 8 straight months, battling, competing, and, it just ends all of a sudden like that, and you're to blame for it. So it's a terrible feeling.
Yeah, I can't imagine it feels too good to be Clayton Kershaw today, or Dave Roberts, or any Dodger fan. Sorry about that, Blue Crew. Out of the playoffs they go on a grand slam by Howie Kendrick last night in the National League Division Series. Welcome to Gwen and Chris. 2-hour program today, so we got to get right to it. Tony Gwynn Jr., how are you, man?
I'm good.
I mean, you're a former. You had a little blue in you for a while.
I did.
But I
had
mean,
more
when
blue
you,
in me than navy blue.
Right. You played for the Dodgers, but I still have a feeling you had a pretty good feeling last night when that game was all said and done. I mean, your friends aside. Because you got some people in that Dodger organization.
Yeah.
Your friends aside, it's still fun to see the Dodgers go down.
Well, first I want to say, Stephen Rose, if you're listening out there, sorry, you lost this bet, buddy.
Oh.
I did, despite me having friends, associates that are in that organization, I did bet against them.
You bet against them in this series or just for the whole?
It was, I said the bet was that they wouldn't get back to the World Series.
Wow. That's a risky bet right there.
If I'm being honest, I thought it would be the Braves that took him out in the next round. But that turned out about 13 runs later before that game.
So there's nothing better than being completely wrong and still winning the bet. So that's how it turned out for you.
But listen, I think there are a lot of things that I'm sure we'll get into as we dissect what happened in this game. But I want to take you back. Me and you had this conversation pretty much since July 31st.
Yes, we have.
We had a podcast on the day the deadline ended.
Trade deadline.
Ben Davis. And I had a little vent session with him previous, but then we had Jerry Hairston on.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to play you this clip from that. This is on July 31st,
okay.
that interview.
Well, let's talk about the team that's at the top of my list that stood pat, and I just can't believe it. Why not let a guy go, let a prospect go to get an arm like Felipe Vasquez? Clearly the Dodgers were in hot pursuit of him. The word is they didn't want to give up Lux. That's who the Pirates were asking for. Jerry, when you've been to the World Series 2 years in a row and you've had a chance, you've been right on the doorstep, and that seemingly is the one thing that is the big blinking red light of if there is a need for the Dodgers, that is it. How don't they pull the trigger here?
Well, first of all, I don't know what was said throughout these calls. I'm sure there are numerous calls. And I understand the Dodgers not wanting to part with Gavin Lux. And I understand because I wouldn't have parted with Gavin Lux.
Now,
in the context of that conversation,
yes,
Dodgers ended up being pretty smart, not giving up their top blue chip for Felipe Vasquez.
I didn't see him on the field last night.
But the point of that discussion was the Dodgers stood pat at the deadline.
Yes, they did.
They needed arms even at that deadline, because we hadn't even gotten to August when Kenley Jansen started to struggle a little bit into September. This hadn't happened yet. But it was clear that if there was a Achilles heel for the Dodgers, it was the bullpen.
You've been saying it for 2 years. you haven't just been saying it for like a month or two. You've been saying it since the beginning of last season. The Dodger bullpen is going to keep them from going to the World Series or winning the World Series. And all that happened in the last two games of this playoff against the Washington Nationals is that the Nationals bullpen, which was supposed to be the worst in baseball, gave up zero runs. The Dodger bullpen gave up 11. That is why the Nationals are moving on and the Dodgers are going home.
Now, here's the funny thing, right? Everybody is very critical of the moves Dave Roberts made, especially the Clayton Kershaw move. That's
of
the
course.
One everybody's talking about.
People were running over Clayton Kershaw jerseys. One guy went
ridiculous.
Down during. Oh, people
just
are so
ridiculous.
People are so stupid.
Okay, so
I got to be honest with you. If you hate Clayton Kershaw today and you're a Dodger fan, you're stupid. You just flat out are. So that's the only diagnosis I have for you.
And I say that because we just talked about it. You said the Nationals bullpen. I would argue the Nationals starters plus two bullpen guys.
Two guys, yeah.
That pitched out of the bullpen. Now, what's the difference? They're starters. They came in out of the bullpen.
Yeah.
But the key element here in playoffs, and I've said this time and time again too, power arms play in the playoffs. Meaning, if you have power arms, there's a little bit, no different than the regular season. It's a little more margin for error
right.
when you have power arms.
And unfortunately, Kershaw's not a power
He's
arm
not
anymore.
A power arm anymore, which is why I'm okay with your argument if it's about Clayton Kershaw coming in for that second inning. But I would question you. I would pose this question to you. Before we know anything that's happened in this game,
right.
if I told you that you have two choices out of the bullpen in a Game 5 elimination game.
You got two great hitters coming up. You got Rendon and you've got Soto coming up to start the eighth inning, and you got a two-run lead. Your choice is either to have one of the greatest pitchers of his generation on the mound or...
Adam Kolarik.
That's what your choices are. Now, you tell me you're going to, honestly, Dodger fans, going to choose Kolarik?
Yeah, give me Kolarik out of the bullpen.
Yeah. Hey, Clayton, you're done. You got that one out in the seventh. Thanks a lot. You know, look, Dave Roberts, I thought he managed as if he might want an interview in San Diego. I mean, I'll be honest with you. I wasn't 100% thrilled with how he managed that ball game. He seemed like he sat back and just waited for something to happen, and that's not the way the Dodgers play baseball. But leaving Joe Kelly in with your season on the line for two straight innings, I had a big problem with that. You've got Urias, you've got Baez, you've got Jansen. I know he's struggling, but he's still your closer. You've got all of these guys, and Joe Kelly was the guy you trusted your entire season to, even after he gave up the leadoff walk, even after he gave up the double to Rendon that lodged itself in the fence, even after you had him walk the bases loaded, you still stayed with Joe Kelly. And the grand slam was hit by Kendrick. I just didn't think that was the right move at all by Dave Roberts as it was happening.
Can I read you, and this goes to all of those points that we've just made, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it takes you back to July 31st, which is the thing here. Listen, opponents average against these guys that you just named. Urias, 308. Kelly, 417.
Man.
Baez, 667.
667 batting average?
667 batting average. This is
in the
playoffs.
Man.
So, as you sit here and listen, he's calculating everything he's seen over the course of the season.
So, who's he supposed to bring in?
Who is he going to go with?
Yeah, that's a good point. The only guy that he had that he really could trust was Maeda, and Maeda got him through a key inning, but then he had to pinch hit for him. That might have been another one of his mistakes to not double switch there and give Maeda a little more time to pitch, because that was one guy that he could count on, and he boxed that up a little bit.
Well, that's how you, the only way you rectify that is the double switch when you bring him in originally.
Right.
But On the flip side of that is you have a lead at this point. Are you thinking about that at this point? Are you thinking about – maybe you should have. Maybe that's why the managers, you know, I don't even
well,
know
he brought Maed in after Kershaw gave up the home run.
My fault.
So to me it was 3-3. You bring Maed in. However, his spot to come up in the batting order was the next inning. So the only way you could get more than one inning out of Maeda right there was the double switch. And we know the Dodgers have plenty of guys they can double switch with.
And that's the thing. And you start getting down to this point in the season, it's really about the guys you trust the most, the guys that have built up that trust in you. And maybe he looked out on the field and he said, my best hitters are out there right now. Although I did kind of – the question that popped up in my mind is, how come David Fries is not getting four at-bats? He might be the most clutch player you have – On that team other than Turner and Bellinger at this point.
He's a World Series MVP. It is hard to keep him on the bench.
We can
sit
here and play quarterback the next day and decipher
Monday morning QB. Well, I'll tell you one thing. I don't care what we play. The other thing that we have to mention real quick, and then we're going to get back into this game, and we'll take some phone calls on it if you'd like, 833-288-0973. But I want to give the Nationals just a little credit. Because
please,
the only thing
please,
we've heard
please.
For the last 12 hours is how Clayton Kershaw is the bum of all time. He's a choker. I saw something on Twitter that had a movie poster.
The Joker?
It was a face with Kershaw's face painted, and it said the Choker.
Yeah.
Look.
The internet is undefeated, by the way.
Yeah, look. The best right-handed hitter in baseball right now is Anthony Rendon. I don't think there's even an argument who the better – he's unbelievably great right now.
Did you see where that
right
pitch
now.
Was, by the way?
It was on the ground.
It was damn near on the ground.
He almost bounced it, and he hit it over the fence. He also doubled off the wall, lodged it into the fence. He had every big at-bat for Washington in that series. And this kid Soto can hit, too. Give those guys some credit. I don't care if Kershaw underhanded the ball. They still had to hit it 450 feet. And I don't care if Joe Kelly isn't reliable. Howie Kendrick still had to overcome about seven errors that he made
seven
in that
errors,
series.
Hadn't looked good at the
looked
plate.
Looked terrible and hits a grand slam to dead central.
Clutch.
Give Washington a little credit, please.
Absolute clutch.
I know it's all on the Dodgers, and I know you're going to blame them, and you're going to blame Kershaw forever if you're a Dodger fan. That's stupid. So that's the end of that. And we'll continue pick it up here in just a little bit. It'll be the Nationals favored over the Cardinals for the National League Championship Series. Talk about that. We will get into the ALDS Game 5 coming up a little bit later today between Tampa Bay and Houston. A Padre pitcher is arrested. We will tell you who and what happened, or at least what we have been told happened. That's kind of a big deal, and we will share that information with you after we check in on traffic and get this show rolling.
321, Tony Gwynn Jr., Chris Ello. Things are not as they seem, especially in the Major League Baseball playoffs. Cardinals, Nationals.
Huh?
Who would have thought that would be the NLCS?
How about the Rays still having a very good shot here?
Man, Rays, Yankees, maybe?
It could be.
Nationals,
the Yankees are the
Cardinals.
Only team that anybody expected. If the Rays beat the Astros tonight, I mean, that's going to be yet. That'll be shocker number three.
Yeah.
So,
listen, ladies and gentlemen, and this is really out to rookie Randy Arozarena out there in St. Louis. Turn your phones off, brother.
Like, we got a big five about
come
that,
on.
Too.
That was so, embarrassing.
Haven't you learned anything?
Dude.
First of all, why would you do that to your manager, A? This dude is pouring his heart out to you.
He made his manager look so bad. So bad. I mean, I will never be able to look at the Cardinal
the
manager the same way again.
Has nobody's learned anything from
it's
AB?
It's almost as if he has no respect for any other team or any other player, which is not true.
Which
it was just the way he was saying it to pump up his own guys.
Which is honest,
made it sound that way.
Which is honestly okay as long as it stays in the confines
that's
right. of the walls.
Of course, I want to beat the living you know what out of
right.
every other team in the league, and of course, I hate every other team in the league and every other player. But I'm not going to say it publicly.
No.
I can't believe that guy recorded that.
But there is the disconnect there between the generation now and a guy, you know, as their manager. You know what
Has
I'm saying?
Has the Cardinal manager had to speak on that yet today?
And, I haven't
and
heard
like
anything.
Backtrack. I mean, he's got to swallow his words a little bit.
I'm positive that they took a day, have a day off today, and they'll probably
they're writing him something to say for tomorrow.
Well, this isn't. He should honestly.
I don't know what else
he's
going
to have to address it.
He's got to address
but
it,
but he shouldn't have had to address it. You know what I'm saying? Like they should have just. This should have never happened. But we'll get to that later on in the Big Five. But the biggest news: the Dodgers go down. 106 wins this year. They lose in a really good Game Five. I mean, there's not a lot you could. I want to talk a little bit, but first, before we get into that, you had a story about.
We should mention to everybody. Yeah, I don't want everybody sitting on the edge of their seat thinking Chris Paddock is sitting in a jail cell somewhere right now. He's not. the Padres did have a pitcher arrested last night. It was Jacob Nix, and you recall Nix did pitch a little bit for the Padres last year. The year before. Last year was injured the entire season. Everything's alleged, nothing's been proven, nothing has been, I don't even know that he's been charged with anything officially yet, but the Padres are aware of the situation. Apparently he was caught breaking into a home in Peoria, somebody's home. The owner caught him. Apparently the owner kicked him. The owner was able to taser him. It doesn't look great for Jacob Nix based on the information that we have right now, but I don't want to go a whole lot further than that because nothing else has been substantiated. We haven't heard from Jacob Nix. We haven't heard from anybody, or the Padres have made any kind of official statement. So, just so you're aware, that's going to pop up. People are having some fun with all of that on Twitter right now. But I have no idea. And beyond that, I will not say anything more about that situation because we don't have any more information to pass along to you other than hearsay and guessing.
Yeah.
And we don't do all a bunch of that on this show. So take that story for what it's worth. We'll see where it goes. The Padres will investigate. I'm sure they will have an announcement and a declaration very, very soon. And look, you know, Jacob Nix obviously got himself in a situation that he should not have been in. Okay, so that's that. Now, back to the game last night. You know, one of the things that...
Can we give Steven Strasburg some love?
God, I was... You and I are on the same wavelength.
Can we give Steven... You know, for what? How long have we been hearing soft? We've been hearing can't stay healthy, can't pitch in the big lights. My man Steven gave up three runs in the first two innings and gave up... nothing.
Were you listening to this show yesterday? I know you were, but were you out there listening to this show yesterday when we told you that through 3.5 innings, the Dodgers, according to the stupid GameCast thing, had an 89% chance of winning the game?
That's right. I forgot about
it. And then I said 99% because nothing was going the Nationals' way. Strasburg looked terrible. They couldn't hit. They couldn't field. The Dodgers were making lucky plays. Everything was going their way. And under those circumstances, for Strasburg to bear down like he did, pitch the way he did, and you have to give credit to the rest of the guys. I looked it up today, Tony. After the second inning, the Dodgers had two singles and a hit batter.
You know what else?
That's all they got over the last eight innings against a very mediocre, supposedly Washington Nationals pitching staff. That is in large part due to the great work of Steven Strasburg. And it is not easy to pitch when you're behind like that and to keep your team in a game. And that was fantastic what he did last night.
You may be able to call their pitching staff from top to bottom mediocre.
Right.
But that first six right there are as good as anybody in the league if you're counting the starters as part of the bullpen.
Okay.
They might be the best.
Corbin looked really good last night, but he looked terrible in the previous game.
That is who deserves another game ball, right? He looked in the same exact situation he came in before, looked brutal, gave up the lead. Dodgers roll in that game.
Game three.
He gets the chance to have another outing in a game in which he's got to put up zeros. He has no choice.
No room
for
error.
He's got to put up zeros. And he punches three.
Yeah, they didn't give up anything. The Dodgers did not have a chance to score after the second inning. Bellinger stole a couple of bases. That was as close as they came to scoring from the third inning on. That is as much of the reason why the Dodgers lost that game as anything else. And that and the fact that Anthony Rendon Why didn't you just say that's much better than what I was going to say? This guy, he's the best right-handed hitter in all of baseball. I don't want to hear any argument about it. He should win the MVP in the National League. His performance in this series was off the charts. His at-bats were just brilliant. Every single one of them, going all the way back to the Milwaukee series when he earned that walk and set up Soto's bases-loaded single to win the game. Rendon has been outstanding. And Washington has been really, really good. And I'm really, you know, look, I can understand as a Dodger fan, you're sour, you're bitter, you're upset, your team got beat. You should be, but, you know, I'll trade places with you in a heartbeat. I really, truly will. Tony, let me ask you this. If the next three Padre seasons go lose the World Series, lose the World Series, lose in the first round of the playoffs, would you sign up for that?
Indeed.
Okay, so Dodger fans, keep it down.
I just want to go over this real quick. We talked about Corbin and after his bad at it. I'm going to read to you the guys he went through because they take Strasburg out. Rainey comes in. He gets Smith and Taylor.
Okay.
Corbin's first guy he faces, Jock Peterson, punches him.
Oh.
Nationals tie the game in the very next inning. So now he comes out and he's got pretty much the heart of the lineup.
Muncy.
Gets Muncy to pop out. He hits Turner, punches out Bellinger, punches out Freeze. He punched out four of the six guys he faced.
Yeah.
And then, you know, hands the ball over. And then those guys come in.
Hudson did the same thing.
Just they did the job. They executed that game plan. The thing that stood out to me is it was apparent watching the game one of the wild card. I know we got to go break. I'm going to get this in real quick. The first wild card game, it was apparent that was going to be the national strategy. They went, I think it was Scherzer, Strasburg.
Rainey.
Somewhere along those guys. Might have been Doolittle.
That's it.
Then you see them execute that same game plan throughout this series with the Dodgers. They just executed better. They had the better arms to do it. I think what's important is that Clayton, for as good as he is, he's no longer a power pitcher. You heard Pedro Martinez say it after game. He's got to make that transition from being a guy that's attacking the strike zone to a guy who's pitching around the strike zone and using his experience. When you don't have a power arm in the playoffs, there's just very little margin for error. So we're not done with this playoff game.
No.
One of our favorite voices, Los Angeles Times' own Dylan Hernandez, will join us in this next segment. I cannot wait to hear what he has to say about this Dodger. He is one that doesn't bite his tongue. So stay tuned. We're going to take a break. We'll be right back. Gwen and Chris, 97.3, The Fan.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Back at you on Gwen and Chris, 335. 97.3 The Fan. Hanging out till 5 o'clock. Then it's Thursday night football. The New York football Giants against the New England football Patriots. But we don't care about that at the moment. Not at the moment. We don't. Talking a little more Dodgers, Nationals, NLDS. A series that stunningly goes to Washington in a dramatic Game 5 on the Grand Slam by Howie Kendrick. Joining us from the Los Angeles Times are good friend of the show, Dylan Hernandez. Dylan, how crazy, like, give me an example of how crazy it is in Los Angeles right now. I mean, people are running over Clayton Kershaw jerseys with their cars. Are they asking for Dave Roberts' ouster? Do they want the franchise moved back to Brooklyn? How bad is it at the moment?
People are angry. You know, I don't know if you've noticed.
They're angry.
This is an angry crowd. You know, how there's some markets where if a team makes, you know, has a great season and they come off the field and everybody claps politely? That's not Los Angeles. You know, Los Angeles, affected. I pulled Clayton Kershaw yesterday, Dave Roberts. You know, and I keep bringing up this you know, I know every time I'm on here I talk about this TV deal, but it's a big deal, right? The majority of the market cannot watch the Dodgers in the regular season. So you have this great 106-win season, but nobody saw it, right? So as far as most of the city is concerned, the season just started, right? This is baseball season. Now it's October. And, you know, earlier this year I was really kind of puzzled initially by how quickly the fans turned on Kenley Jansen when he started to struggle. But then it occurred to me, actually, these people have not, you know, Kenley now is at 300 career saves. Of the 300, maybe people have seen 10, right? All they've seen, all what they remember is him blowing games in October, right? He's that guy. So even though he's arguably the greatest closer in Dodger history, you know, to them, he's Jonathan Broxton. To him, he's Tom Niedenfuhr. You know, and that's kind of the reality of this situation. So, again, I think when people were kind of looking at these Dodgers, it was, you know, again, they were not going to get a pass for what they accomplished in the regular season.
Well, especially not after two straight years in the World Series. This couldn't be then, and that's such an interesting point that I don't think either myself or Chris thought of it from that standpoint, not having seen the team play the majority of this crazy run and only getting to see them in the playoffs where they've I hate to even use the word disappointed when you've reached the World Series 2 years in a row, but that's the visual they have. There's another thing that you've been pretty adamant about. You and I have talked about this, maybe not necessarily on the show, but off air, about the Dodgers' refusal to address their bullpen over the last, I don't know, 3, 4, 5 years now. It came back to bite them again. It looks like this year Dave elected to say, you know what, I'm going to go with who I trust at this point, and that backfires, and that's only going to lead to a more complicated offseason, it would seem.
Yeah, you know, there is a, right, the Dodgers right now are on I believe they're only like 3 teams, right, in the history of baseball that have made 7 straight. The Dodgers have made 7 consecutive playoff appearances. Right, the Atlanta Braves, obviously, from the 90s, you know, into the 2000s, and then the Yankees, I believe, in the 90s had a stretch like this, too. But this is a very unique run, right? Now, there is also a price to be paid for this type of consistency, and that price is that you never quite go all in, right? You know, there was a time, you know, years ago, they could have probably traded, you know, Coatinger to get, you know, a frontline pitcher or something, or a middle of the lineup bat. They didn't do it. You know, this year, you know, Gavin Lux, Dustin May, were guys that could have traded maybe to go get somebody at some point. Maybe last year, right, you know, that Garrett Cole trade.
Right.
Maybe the Dodgers could have been the team to kind of package those guys. And, you know, so it's kind of like, what do you kind of want, right? It's, you know, on one hand, you know, Gavin Lux, again, May, I'm sure in 3-4 years, they're going to be very, very, you know, important parts of a playoff team. Mm-hmm. You know, so I'm sure then people will be happy, like, hey, I'm glad we didn't trade those guys.
Until they don't win a World Series.
Yeah, right. That's the thing, though, right, is that maybe not trading those guys cost them that opportunity to go win a World Series. You know, you look at the Cubs, right, they traded Gleyber Torres for, what, like 30 innings of Aroldis Chapman?
Yeah.
And it wasn't like this was some type of, like, secret, right? They knew Gleyber Torres was the number one prospect in their organization, one of the top prospects in baseball. They knew he was going to become good, you know, and they pushed their chips all in and they went for it. Now, they also went to game 7, and if they lose that game, that's one of the worst trades ever, right?
Right.
Great point.
But you need, you know, so it's kind of like, are you willing to make that gamble? And, you know, the Dodgers are drawing close to 4 million fans a year. You know, Stan Kasten at the beginning of this year, you know, when I was kind of pestering him about, why aren't you guys spending more money? He said, you know, and rightfully so, maybe. You know, I mean, I thought it was kind of offensive, it was disrespectful to the fans, but it was true. He said, look, we're going to lead the league in attendance. The fans are obviously okay with this, you know.
That's so, a phenomenal point.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I think it came across as a little bit arrogant there, but he has a point there, right? So, you know, yeah, I mean, I think that, you know, in Los Angeles, this isn't a type of city where, you know, and I, again, the Lakers have, you know, I know it's a different sport, but they have set an unrealistic expectation that when teams go to the playoffs, they should win it all.
Yeah.
Second place is completely unacceptable. But that, you know, whatever you want, you know, that's the standard in the city. And, you know, if you do win in the city, it will be like winning in, it'll be unlike anything else, right? These guys that were Lakers, you know, continue to be celebrities to this day, role players on that team.
Yeah.
Derek Fisher is a celebrity in town, right? I mean, and, you know, it'd be the same for these Dodgers. If they win, you know, some guy in the middle of the bullpen, whatever, you know, guys from the 88 team, which was pretty much like a starless team, actually, right? With the exception of Kirk Gibson or Hershiser. Guys on that team continue to be celebrated today. You know, you will get that, but again, the trade-off is that the standard is insanely high.
Dylan Hernandez, LA Times, is with us. Real quick on the game last night, Dylan, and all the criticism that Dave Roberts is going to take, and any manager would take. I mean, you've got to make some moves, and Kershaw did not get the outs there in the eighth inning. Joe Kelly couldn't get through two innings. Is second-guessing Dave Roberts deserved, or did he play the best hand that he had to possibly play there?
Yeah, I mean, well, the Kershaw thing was just, first of all, just stunning, wasn't it? It was like it was like some kind of like reverse Michael Jordan thing, you know, where when Jordan would hit another big shot and you'd be like, oh, my God, he did it again. It was like that in like reverse almost. You know, where I was like, oh, my God, I can't believe. And especially that Soto home run. I mean, he hit the crap out of that ball,
you know.
And don't get me wrong, like the one guy I do feel bad in all of this is Kershaw, just because of how much the game means to him and stuff. But it was really kind of, you know, the fact that, you know, all his failures up to date have come as a starter, right? And you're kind of thinking, well, he's coming out of the pen, maybe he can gas it up a little bit, maybe he won't get hit. And for it to kind of happen so quickly and kind of so spectacularly was just so just breathtaking, you know? I think the one that he's really, you know, that Dave Roberts is really going to have to live with, though, is the Joe Kelly thing.
Right.
Why are you sending this guy back out the second time, right? This is not a consistent pitcher. He was hurt the last, like, 2 weeks of the regular season with some kind of mysterious ailment, right? He barely pitched. And, you know, he's kind of this up-and-down guy to begin with. I mean, you know, it seems like, hey, look, you got your one inning, be happy, just get out of there, right? So that one I think he's going to have to kind of live with for a while. And it's going to be kind of interesting, I think, you know, just kind of, you know, with both Kershaw and with Roberts, just kind of the relationship with the fans at this point. You know, this is, I mean, I think that they were already, you know, probably like most of the city didn't feel very positive about them to begin with. And this is certainly not going to help.
Well, last one before we let you get out of here, Dan. What happens now? Because obviously, Doc signed that extension. He's there. He's under contract. You talked about Kershaw and the ending he had. Where do the Dodgers go from here? Do they just retool? And you bring up such a good point about them weighing the benefit of going all in or being consistent every year, winning the division. Whether that's okay enough for the fan base, I think only time will tell. But where do they go from here moving into next season?
I mean, all indications are that this is, you know, they're going to stay the course, right? This was, you know, Stan Kasten is the president of this team. He was the president of those Braves teams, right? And after, what was it, 13 playoff appearances, they had one World Series for that one. And it was in a strike-shortened season, you know?
Yeah.
This guy, Stan Kasten's mentality is not a mentality of a champion. He's a champion of being just good enough to take money out of your pocket, you know? So, my guess is that he's right. They're going to go out there, win 90-something games again next year. And, you know, I mean, I would love for them to go out and sign Gerrit Cole, right? Gerrit Cole's on this team. I think they become favorites to win it. Now, do they actually go, right? And it also maybe allows them to develop Julio Urías as a reliever rather than to have to force him back into the rotation. You know, I think it opens some possibilities, other possibilities up for the bullpen, too. But nothing has given me the indication that they're planning on going out and spending money. If anything, I think we're going to continue to see them kind of cut back on payroll and continue to kind of go off this, you know, player development strategy where they develop their own players and have a relatively inexpensive lineup.
Let's just hope that maybe next year the Padres can give them a year off from this agony. You know what? The Padres give the Padres one division. Let the Dodgers sit out the playoffs for a year, you know, just to kind of recoup and then let them go from there. You know, why not?
Well, you know, in all seriousness, though, right? That is, I think, what the Dodgers need. I mean, they've been lulled into complacency by a terrible division.
Yeah.
You know, and scouts that I have talked to keep telling me, like, the Padres, they're coming, right? About, you know, people are very high on their high A team right now. You know, the high A team from the South here. There's some arms down there. And, you know, what's to me a really good sign, too, is different scouts are telling me about guys that aren't necessarily, like, on those prospect lists, right? Everybody's kind of got their favorite guy. You know, there's some people were talking about the shortstop there, and I didn't see him on any of the lists, you know, the top prospects in baseball. And that kind of tells me, okay, well, you know what? They, you know, have maybe nine guys, say, who have a chance to make it, you know? And if four guys make it into the big league,
team,
you know,
yeah.
Now you have yourself a team. So I think that that's actually what we kind of want, is for the Dodgers to kind of get the Padres to become good, for the Dodgers to get pushed. Because I do think that that type of dynamic, it helps everybody. It'll be good for the Padres. It'll be both good for the Dodgers, too, in some way.
So well said, Dylan. Really nicely done. Really enjoyed the visit. Appreciate it. Putting everything in the proper perspective. And really coming up with some great stuff there. Enjoyed the chat. Hopefully, we'll catch up soon.
Thanks, Dylan.
Thank you for having me on.
You betcha, sir. Dylan Hernandez there from the Los Angeles Times. He had some great points there. I mean, just really, like you said, stuff I hadn't even really thought about. But just to write on the money with what he's talking about and, you know, putting this thing where it should be put. I mean, those are some harsh words. Stan Kasten is a champion of reaching into your pocket and taking money, but he's not a champion of being a champion. But how can you describe him any other way? He has presided now over 17 division championships in his baseball career, yet won one measly World Series.
There's a reason why you don't hear his name mentioned next to Theo Epstein.
Yeah.
You know, because ultimately, nobody remembers division titles.
Nobody remembers all that
stuff. They might remember you advancing and getting to, they don't, but that's as far as it goes. So
you got to win it.
You got to, and it only takes, that's the crazy thing, one title compared to 17 division titles gets you all the notoriety compared, you know, if you win that one title compared to if you just win 17 division titles.
Yeah. All right, the Dodgers are out. The only bad news about the Dodgers being out, this is the one thing I just told Tony a little while ago. I think the NLCS is going to be a little anticlimactic now because I don't have anybody to root against.
Right.
Like, that's one thing I enjoy is rooting against the Dodgers. Well, now that I got them out of the playoffs, what am I going to do now?
That is the downside of rooting for the underdog.
That's right.
Because if both underdogs win,
you don't have a favorite to hate. I guess I have to hate the Yankees again. All right, everybody jump on the phone lines. Time for a little Chris versus the Fan, 833-288-0973. Got a line or two available. Let's play, Scraby.
If you had one shot, one opportunity to take down the human almanac himself.
Howdy do.
Now is your time.
Listen to me, this guy is dangerous.
Now is your opportunity to win a prize.
Well, I hope you know what you're in for.
Chris versus the Fans starts now on 97.3 The Fan.
All right, we got some movie tickets to give away, but you got to get on the phone lines. You got to play a little trivia. And we do have a line open, 833-288-0973. Scraby, the rules.
You have to make it through three questions. Each question is going to get more difficult. If you get it right, you move on. If you get it wrong and Chris gets it right, you're eliminated. But if he gets it wrong, then you have a chance to move on to the next question. Or if you're on the third question, he gets it wrong, you win. Win!
Scraby, I will just say, little light. Little light, guy.
Little
here we go.
What?
First question, Nick in Lakeside. Welcome to Gwen and Chris.
I seriously don't know what he's talking
Thanks for
about.
Calling in. Let's get started.
Who are we doing?
Nick in Lakeside.
Oh, that comment threw me off so much I didn't know who you said.
Hello, Nick. How you doing today,
yeah,
brother?
Scraby's not used to be called light, by the way.
But
sorry, I couldn't miss out. I couldn't pass on that one.
Nick, you ready?
Hey, Nick.
Yes, I am.
All right, let's get started. First question.
I was looking for a rim shot. Can't find one.
What did fans of the Seahawks throw at Marshawn Lynch after he scored a touchdown?
I'm going to have to guess. Skittles?
I'm going to have to say you are correct, sir. Nice
Skittles?
Work.
I didn't know that at all.
He's the Skittle
he
man.
Loves Skittles.
I guess so.
See, I saw him get out of the car, and it was like instead of
full of Skittles.
Yeah, it was full of Skittles.
His mom, as a kid, whenever he would score a touchdown in Pop Warner and all that stuff, she would give him Skittles.
Ah. Okay.
Here we go, Nick. Question number two.
I'm glad you knew that, Nick, so I can save the embarrassment.
This is a good question. What color jersey does a cyclist receive when they lead the Tour de France after any stage?
Yellow.
Yeah, I think.
That is correct, Nick.
Wow.
Nice
Get
work.
The yellow jersey.
Scraby,
it's
you
a big
might,
deal.
Nick might save you from having to do any more questions, bro.
Nick might just blitz this thing today.
Question
Let's go, Nick.
Number three, Nick, for the win.
Finish it off.
Oh, this is an even better question right here, Scraby. Which NBA franchise has the most individual winners in the slam dunk contest?
Oh, my gosh.
Okay, let's see here. Chicago.
Chicago Bulls is incorrect.
They got a couple. I think Jordan was the only one.
Stay there.
Yeah, stay there. I mean, I'm going to be taking a wild guess. I know Dominique Wilkins and Spud Webb won for the Hawks. That's not enough. And I don't, you know what? I don't even know who won the slam dunk contest the last 12 years. Mm. So I'm really in trouble. I'm going to guess the Knicks.
The Knicks is incorrect as well.
Wow.
Who was it?
Nick, nice work. You were onto it. The
really?
Atlanta Hawks.
It was the Hawks, huh?
It had Spud Webb. They had Dominique.
Yeah.
And if I'm not mistaken, they had
another guy
they had
in there?
Something Smith. Gosh, what was his
JR?
Name?
JR?
No, it wasn't JR. Nevertheless, it
Nevertheless,
was the
they had another one.
Nice work, Nick.
All right,
hang
Nick,
on the line.
You got it.
Thomas will take your information
I think
and
we
get
lost.
Your tickets.
I hope we didn't lose Nick. Did we lose him there?
No, he's on the phone, Thomas.
Okay, yeah, good.
Perfect,
all right.
Perfect.
Good. Good job, Nick. You win the trivia right away today, which gives us a little bit more time to break down what the Nationals did to the Dodgers in this playoff series.
Can we break down more what Dylan said, though?
Yeah, sure.
I didn't even think about this from the standpoint that the only time people in Los Angeles get to see them is when they're on national TV.
Right, because they don't – yeah, we get to see more Dodger games
we
here
do.
Than they get to see
yeah.
in Los Angeles. I didn't even know that.
So that would make me feel some type of way every time I actually visually see them.
Right. They're playing their poorest.
Right.
It seems as if that's the case. Well – Strasburg, I think, just gets such a huge thumbs up. Did you just realize he finished up the series, Tony, with 21 Ks and one walk? I mean, he had a whip of 0.8 in this series. I mean, you're pitching against the Los Angeles Dodgers twice at Dodger Stadium under the most difficult of circumstances. I couldn't have been more proud of a guy. Because I can tell you, I think you could probably agree with me, but not that you pitched, but when you give up a couple of home runs right at the beginning of the game, it is tough to stick that and take that out of your mind and say, you know what, I just got to trust that my guys are going to get me back in the game, and I got to pitch shutdown baseball from here on out. It's easy to say, but it is really, really hard to do.
Yeah.
And he almost gave up three home runs because the Peterson one went through the fence. Nearly was a home run. Then the next pitch, Muncy hits out for a home run. And then the next inning, Kike Hernandez hits a home run off you. And you're thinking, man, this is going to be a nightmare for Strasburg. And I don't think he gave up another base runner after that. So just maybe one guy got on a hit by pitch. But just a fantastic job by Strasburg. So proud of him.
Now, I mean, listen, Dave Martinez also, you know, give him some credit. He pushed the right buttons. Listen, how often do we see in the playoffs – and listen, this may have just been the matter of him not having an option there, but how often do we see runs given up early in a playoff and a starter doesn't even get to try to right the ship? They're coming out.
Yeah.
He stayed with him. He stayed with him. And again, that could be because they didn't have much of a choice. But
I just like the way the whole Nationals thing went about it, too. When Doolittle went out there for the bottom of the 10th inning, did you see who went down to the bullpen to warm up just for the hell of it?
Scherzer?
Scherzer did.
Yes, he
Scherzer
did.
Scherzer said, I don't care if I'm supposed to pitch or not.
He was sitting
I'm going to get ready just in case, just to scare the daylights out of the Dodgers that I might come in.
He was setting that up in the 6th and 7th inning. He was over there talking. They pan over in the locker room, or excuse me, the dugout.
Yep.
And you see him in Dave Martinez's ear. There's no question that was about him going to the bullpen.
All right, it's time for our Grand Slam giveaway keyword. This hour, the word is quick. Kind of like the Dodgers stay in the playoffs. It was quick. Text
Yikes.
Q-U-I-C-K to this text number, 72881, for your chance to win your share of $160,000 in the Fans National Cash Contest. Message and data rates apply. Good luck. from 97.3 The Fan. We have 1 hour left on this show, but we have so much more to bring you, including our fantasy football expert, Matt Camp, next, Gwen and Chris.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.